On scripture, Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and I want to read verse 26 that we may receive something that we may not know. Call it revelation knowledge. But verse 26 says, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And what I found a blessing is, as Sister Roz and I were just going back and looking at some of the things that we have been taught and what has been shown and shared with us. First of all, you only find this word Christian this one time. And we've always wondered, where did it come from? And why was it used, and it's so well used today? But what we found was the reason why they were called Christians at this point is because they were being persecuted for being called disciples. So in order to circumvent that or get around that, they were called Christians. So in the beginning, they wasn't putting those two together. As in now, there's such a great persecution because we don't even live up to being a Christian. Many have gone back to saying they are believers and disciples and followers, but they don't want to use or identify with Christian. So just a point of information. Take it if you desire, if you don't. But I just thought I'd share that with you. So Acts 15. And what we will find happening in this chapter, the Jews and the rulers are trying to force the Gentiles to follow their laws and customs. So with that, let's read what it says in verse 1.
"And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved."
The church is beginning to be troubled with different opinions, which causes strife by the proud and stubborn intellects of certain evil men, saying the only way that we're going to accept you, you got to be circumcised. Okay?
"When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissensions and disputations with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question."
So Paul and Barnabas was disputing or talking it over with them about this matter to the point, I mean, it wasn't small, it was great. To the point that it was decided, you know, we're going to have to take this to another level. And again, the complaint was the Gentiles had to be circumcised to be saved. How unheard of. Where were they coming from? So Paul and Barnabas was disputing with who? The unknowledgeable followers of the law, to where they were needed to go and take it further to the apostles and the elders to make this matter, to get this matter clear. The problem is kind of the same problem we see today. In certain things. But circumcision is part of the Jewish custom. It is part of their law. Circumcision is what the Jews had to do and obey. The Jews were under the law about what they ate. They were under the law about the Sabbath. They were even under the law, women had to be covered before they could go into the temple. But the Gentiles were not obligated to follow the law because they were never under the law. They ate what they wanted, when they wanted, and they were pleased to wear and do what they wanted to do on the Sabbath. Their women were not restricted where they had to be covered before they went into the temple. In fact, did you know we've never been under the law either? We have never been under the law. What is important that we should do, as what the Gentiles did, is to receive Christ for our salvation. Now, here's the thing. There are many things that we have read, many things that we follow, and many things that we have applied, and they did not pertain to us, but they simply pertain to the Jewish law and customs. We have never been up under the law. And there has been so much misunderstanding of the reading of the word that we have applied to our lives that we should not have applied. But here's the thing. They weren't having it. This is exactly what they're saying. If you're going to be considered saved, you had to submit and abide by the curse of the law that Christ has already came and made them free of. Christ came and made them free, but you're going to put them in bondage. Now, let's just take a look at what Paul addressed them about in Romans chapter 2. Start with verse 24. And just to let y'all know what's going on is the fact that the individuals was telling Paul and Barnabas, if we're going to accept these Gentiles, they got to be circumcised to be saved. And these are things that are up under the law. And understanding the Gentiles were never up under the Jewish law. They didn't have those things to abide by, which we must understand we are not up under and never have been up under the law. Amen. So look at Romans chapter 2, start at 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, talking to the Jews, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. In other words, when you violate or break other parts of the law, you become equal to one who is not circumcised, like a Gentile. You blaspheme. I mean, they looking at you, and you tell them what they got to do, and you ain't doing it yourself. And Paul knew the Jews were breaking many parts of the law. And by breaking the law, it's like not being circumcised at all. So, verse 26. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Circumcision according to the law requires obedience to the entire law. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it be fulfilled the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? shall his uncircumcision stand in the way of the acceptance of Jesus Christ? Come on. The apostle teaches the acceptance with God does not depend on a man's external privileges, but on the state of the heart and life. Verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outwardly in the flesh. Circumcision of the flesh is not what makes you a Jew that is right. It is the circumcision of the heart that makes you right and a Jew. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? 29 says, but he is a Jew which is one out inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Quit trying to bring people under your law. So here's the thing. Today, denominations and religions are trying to convince the unsaved and those that are in different cultures and backgrounds to do what they are doing and make them believe what they believe. And if they do not comply, they are not saved or accepted. That's what's happening. And here's a few examples. See if you can identify. Certain religions don't believe in salvation. They don't acknowledge Christ Jesus. To them, not following their custom makes you an infidel. Another one believes only a certain number can occupy heaven. But they can't say who it is. And don't know whether they will or they won't. Or somebody before them or after them. And then a certain denomination will accept people of color, but will not allow them to hold any office, regardless of your contribution or position in society. But now, possibly, we just found out a few days ago, because of the number of people of color that have joined their denomination, they are now changing. And they are beginning to grant positions, especially since certain popular people have joined their denomination. If you want to know who I'm talking about, see me after service. Oh, and by the way, as far as religions that are not mentioned, you also cannot buy your way into heaven because of all the deeds you've done or all the money you gave. Amen. It just ain't going to get you there. Amen. Okay, verse 3 and 4.
And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren.
Verse 4.
And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them.
They were rejoicing in what God had done as far as the Gentiles were concerned. All things that were done, they always came and reported or gave report to all news of their journey. And that's, again, one thing. When they went out, when they came back, they made a report to the apostles and the church and the elders of exactly what took place. So if they had to be instructed, they could be instructed. Or if it was a good report, they could rejoice at that good report. Verse 5.
But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.
So what you see here in verse 1, there were men that complained about the Gentiles needing to be circumcised. And Paul and Barnabas disputed with them and talked with them and decided, well, we need to take this up to higher authority. So they go to Jerusalem, and when they get there, these Pharisees, okay, they're saying the same thing. But here's the difference. These Pharisees believed and had been converted. Although they were converted to Christianity, they still retained their attachment to many rites and ceremonies of the Jewish belief. So they saying the same thing, if we're going to receive them, they need to be circumcised. Their errors had not been totally removed from them. Just like us being salvaged, some things take more time than others. But we must continue in the teaching that the Spirit of God can make known to us the things that we need to drop. I think everybody in here still got something they need to drop. And here's what was so beautiful. Now, there seem to be more Gentiles receiving Christ every day. The number was rising to I don't know whether you could say they were equaling out or coming close, but there were more and more. And as far as the different Jews are concerned, this matter has got to be handled. We got to somehow put a stop to all of this. And so one way is, well, you know, they got to be circumcised. Now, look, every child that's circumcised back then had to be circumcised in 8 days. Now, saints, let me put it this way kindly. In 8 days, there's still some numbness down there. You don't know what's happening. But ain't no way no 45-year-old man going to let you circumcise him for any reason. There was only one account that I remember back in the Old Testament when it was Jacob's 12 children, and they had one, Diana, which was a girl who seemed to mingle away from the tribe. So they decided, if these men are going to be accepting our women, they got to be circumcised. And they all agreed. But what happened when they got circumcised and they were sore, the brothers came in there and lit them up. So you see, I mean, they didn't have the technology back then to make sure that you didn't feel no pain. You hear me? If they didn't have the technology, when I went to have surgery on my knee, I wouldn't have had it. Even with that technology, I ain't gonna have the other one done. So you see, but this is all they had. It's got to be handled. Does that sound familiar? We got to do something before it gets out of hand. Certainly, we don't want to let too many people in. I know somebody else has said that. Anyway, give me verse 6 and 7.
And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe.
In other words, God himself, in the calling of the Gentiles, who are uncircumcised, taught that our salvation consists in faith without the worship appointed by the law. Where did God ask for race or gender? Where did he ask for age or how much money you do or don't have? This salvation is not by the law, but faith. Ephesians 2 and 8 said, for by grace you are saved through faith. Now, let me ask, if you were if you were to ask someone or even yourself, what drew you to God, what would your answer be? Let me help you. John 14:6 said, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And to put icing on that, Jesus also said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You may credit someone else for bringing you, but it's the Father that drew you. It is clear by the scriptures who drew you, because he knows those that are his. Just like he has given salvation to the Jews and the Gentiles, then God has given us the same salvation through Jesus Christ to us today. Amen. Give me verse 8 and 9.
And God, which knoweth the heart, beareth them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us.
Mm-hmm.
And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith.
What the Jews had with circumcision, the Gentiles had received without circumcision. Did y'all hear what I said? What the Jews had with circumcision, the Gentiles received without circumcision. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but that's a blessing to me.
Amen.
No difference between with regard to the benefits. The same benefits that they got with circumcision, the Gentiles got without circumcision. All the blessings of God are yea and amen. Give me verse 10.
Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?
Why? Can't you see what they were trying to do then? And can't you see what religions are trying to do today? They're trying to put a yoke, trying to put you in bondage, trying to make you do it their way. If you don't see it the way I see it, then you ain't got what I got. Well, it makes me kind of question what it is that you got. Salvation has become a work and a system to receiving and having. Go ahead, sis.
But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they.
Not by works, not by title, not by contribution. Go ahead.
Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring that miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them.
See, they listened to what was said. They reviewed the things that were done. They could not deny what God had done for and to the Gentiles. But it seems as if more evidence or proof was needed. Peter showed and received the Gentiles into the church was in full, according to what with the purpose of God as declared by the prophets. So Peter was first going, and he had spoke. And Paul and Barnabas had said what they said, but it seems as if they weren't convinced. They still needed something. So, and here's the thing. The writers say that James was the president of the council then and was called Bishop of Jerusalem. The rest either argued on the subject or gave their opinion. James alone makes things clear in what he says in these next few verses. And it shows just that. Go ahead, verse 13.
And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon have declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Keep going.
Go ahead.
And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up.
See, it was needed for them to have biblical proof. And what was just read by James came from Amos 9, 11, and 12. So understand, this council of people were not just anybody, but there were those that knew the scriptures, that studied the scriptures. And James simply gave them from the scriptures what was being fulfilled. Okay, verse 17.
That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things.
Go ahead.
Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God,
mm-hmm.
but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood.
Mm-hmm.
For Moses of old time have in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day.
So whatever question might have been, James has cleared it up. He's made it known. Now, rather than do what the Jews and the Pharisees and all of us want to do, this is what we need to let them know that they need to abstain from. They need to abstain from pollution of idols, fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Okay, verse 22.
Then please it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief man among the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and the elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia.
So now they are in agreement. And can you see that this was no small matter? I mean, they actually took the matter very seriously. Paul and Barnabas, the apostles, the elders, the church, and they talked about it in detail and not only talked about it, but even reviewed what the scriptures were saying, this is how we should handle, or this is what should be done. Okay? The people that affiliated with it in other cities had to be given the same understanding in regards to the Gentiles and circumcision. So this was not just something left with them up in Jerusalem, but now they had to spread this information to everybody that they fellowship with. So letters now had to be sent out along with those chosen to go to them so they would speak to them what was sent in writing. So you're not going to only hear it, but you're also going to have something written so you can't deny it. Verbal is good so we can truly understand, but sometimes we need something written. So when we try to deny it, huh? Because that's exactly what it is with us in the Lord. We say a lot of things, and then all of a sudden we get amnesia. And the Lord has to show us it's written right here. It's written. Okay? So here's how they addressed it when they came. Verse 24.
For as much as we have heard, the certain which we went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment.
Okay, so, I mean, church, we got to let you know. They letting the rest of the churches know in Iconium and Antioch and Jerusalem, wherever they went, We didn't give no such commandment that you had to be circumcised. You know, keep the faith. Don't leave Jesus now, okay, because all these things you hear is fake news, rumors, okay? Those things you've been hearing didn't come from us. Now, if we had another church that was birthed from old Jesus, it would be our responsibility to let them know what comes from us and what changes are being made. Because whoever's been birthed from old Jesus should be following the same footsteps as more Jesus. Amen. Huh? Okay, verse 25.
It seems good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than the necessary things.
And what seems good is the continuing fellowship, that all things would stay the same. So in this next verse, it tells them what they what to do and expect them to do. 29.
That ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well.
So they're not telling no more than what's written. This is what you need. You receive Christ. So this is what you need to do now. You need to quit doing these things. Because these things that you need to quit doing, we quit doing. Okay? Nothing here about circumcision. Nothing about the covering of hair. Nothing about the Sabbath. Huh? These are the things you just abstain from doing. And if there be any more, the Holy Ghost will reveal it. Amen. As due time come. Huh? We've got a standard. We've got I don't want to say a system, but we've got things established here in more Jesus. Amen. Of what we should do and what we should not do. And if there be any more, the Spirit of God will make it known to us what we need to do more of and less of. Amen. Huh? Y'all believe that? Amen. Okay, verse 30. We on the same page.
So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, mm-hmm. which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation.
Amen.
And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them.
So they went on. They had the message. They spoke and gave them the letter and told them what they needed to do and continued. Okay, verse 33.
And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Mm-hmm. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still.
Let's stay here a little longer. Let's continue the fellowship. Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas.
I'm sorry. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also.
How many of y'all know it don't take just one time? I can't just come here and preach one Sunday and leave y'all alone. Because when the pastor's away, oh, y'all know the end of that. But we need a constant, steady diet. Amen. Of what is written. Amen? Amen. Okay.
And someday after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.
Huh? Let's go and check them out. Let's find. And again, if more Jesus has birthed churches or and they're in relationship, You know, it's a matter of, you know, DJ, you know, you stay here. I got to go and check out and see how they doing down here or doing over here. Or DJ, I need you to go and minister and come back and give report on how things are happening. So they did just, they didn't just preach and never return, but they went back and checked them out and had fellowship and made sure that everything was well. Go ahead.
And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark.
Okay.
But Paul thought not good to take him with them,
mm.
who departed from them from Pamphylia,
mm-hmm.
and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus.
Now, sharp contention. Does this imply anger or ill will on either side? No. And it has been said and told that there was just such. But here's the deal. These two different in their way of support, to keep it simple. Paul was an ancient Greek commentator. He was influenced only with the love of righteousness. This is Paul. Barnabas being one of action by love to his relatives. And John Mark had been tried in trying circumstances and he failed. Okay? So Paul therefore would not trust him again. I don't want him to go with us. And they spoke adamantly of how they felt. Now, the affection of Barnabas led him to hope the best and was therefore desirous to give him another trial. Give him another chance, Paul. Come on. But they could not agree, and they departed and went each other's way, and they took different partners to do the work. And if you will really stick with the scriptures and find that later on, Paul said, go get John Mark. Huh? And what we must understand, even in the ministry, we are not always going to agree.
Amen.
Huh? I agree that you must go through this door to come into service. DJ said, well, I think we should come through this door. We may not always agree to the point where he coming through this door and I'm coming through this door. But here is what we must understand. That regardless of the disagreement or the contention, when they went their separate ways, they still had the same message. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what is important. That regardless of your disagreement on what color the carpet is, or disagreement on what you should wear when you come in, your message should be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 40 and 41.
And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches.
There is talk, but the point is they were not in disagreement with the gospel. One thing for sure, they both preached and taught Jesus wherever they went.
Amen.
Amen. Any comments or questions?
No.